You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program, and crosstheborder.org is the website where you can see what resources I have there. Find an email link to email me. Now, that opening piece of music that I use to open every hour of this program, the name of it is Exodus, and always enjoyed that piece, so I enjoy having it for my opening. I believe it is fitting, because I am calling people out of the kingdoms of this world and to Exodus into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. We're going through the book of Numbers here, if you're just joining me for the hour, and we're in Numbers chapter 34. And basically, what's going on here is that they are getting the landmarks from Yahuwah, their creator, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham. And he is talking to Moses and telling them what the borders of their land will be after they cross over the Jordan. The kingdom of Israel was a demonstration. A project, basically, was a type of the kingdom of God that we have now. Because what we have is a type here. The national Israel, wandering in the wilderness, going over to take the land, was the mortal kingdom of God on earth. And of course, it was a kingdom of mortals. But in that kingdom of mortals, you had an ecclesia, those that were called out, those that were obedient, those who lived by faith, looking forward to the redemption, to the promised Messiah. And those ecclesia, those remnant, those called out of the mortal kingdom of God, which was a demonstration of our Heavenly Father. Of course, the demonstration was doomed because of the majority of mortals will never choose a life of faith. And that was demonstrated, absolutely. Now, in the land, we, like the Levites, we do not have an inheritance in the land anymore. And the children of Israel, of course, they had an inheritance in the land as long as they were obedient. And the Heavenly Father, He promised to drive them out if they went astray. Well, they went astray, they were driven out of the land. But anyway, these are the borders of the land for the mortal kingdom of God. And what we're looking for is an immortal kingdom, a kingdom that will last forever. And there were those faithful in Israel, there were those faithful before Israel, and there have been those faithful ever since Israel was dispersed among the nations, and they are the ecclesia. The ecclesia is a group of people from all times, all generations, all ages, and they are the true believers. They are the remnant of our Heavenly Father from all time. Those people who chose by faith to live a life of obedience, to learn obedience to our Heavenly Father, to learn obedience to the truth, and to be disciplined by His Word and by His truth, they have entered into that eternal kingdom. And we enter into that kingdom now, by obedience. And our obedience is a demonstration that we have entered into His kingdom. Now, there's a phrase that came out of a popular movie that goes like this: "The force be with you." Well, that certainly changes the meaning of the word force, doesn't it? Because what is force? Is force the same as the Spirit? If I say the Spirit be with you, am I saying the same thing as the force be with you? No, I'm not. Force is the barrel of a gun, basically. Now, I said that, well, we can demonstrate. We can adopt the kingdom principles and His law and perhaps establish an inheritance in this time for our children. But it's not an eternal inheritance. It's an inheritance in the land. And it's just basically a demonstration and a restoration of His kingdom principles, at least in our own family and our own family life. Nevertheless, so if you set up some property and you establish a trust on religious principles and you say that inside the private law of this trust, it is the inheritance according to the law of God that rules. But still we have the force outside of us, and the force comes from the ungodly governments of men and the state, basically. So while you may establish a private law according to your religious liberty inside of a private law document like a trust, you still have force to deal with. You still have property taxes. And basically that's it. Because the force is the barrel of a gun. They have guns. They have bulldozers. And if you don't pay their property tax, they will come with their guns and their bulldozers and take your land away from you and give it to someone else, because they require you to pay for the public education of all of the good little pagans out there, because they want all of those people to be indoctrinated very well into their statist religion. And basically their education system has almost become a religion in itself. Education has been lifted up to a high status, but the main reason that our enemy has lifted up this education to a high status is because it teaches all of the children to be good little pagans and good little statists, obedient to the force and the policy, police state powers that abound in the land. So, I may not have much respect for the governments of men and for the laws of men, but I do understand force. And also I understand that if they, the governments of men, by their laws require me to break the law of my Heavenly Father, I understand that if I obey His law and thereby cannot comply with their law, that they may bring their force against me. And that is what, well, that would be defined as persecution in the scripture, because that is persecution defined, to be persecuted or punished or have force used against you for practicing your religious beliefs or not going against the law of God. And many people know what I'm talking about, but basically those are the principles that I live by. Another thing about force is Yahshua, he made a statement about the kingdom of God. He said, the violent take it by force. Well, I believe that the translation there in the King James Version has a lot to be desired. Because, yes, you can take something by force, but you can't take the kingdom of God by force. So what does the translation really mean? Well, there are people out there that are violent, and they're trying to build their idea of the kingdom of God by force. You have the radical Islamists out there by the barrel of a gun or by the force of a machete or whatever, killing people who will not convert to their religion. That's called the violent taking it by force. And of course, then you have the famous Inquisition and the Dark Ages, where the Vatican, the state, the church state, tried to force people into their kingdom of God. And that is what I believe that Yahushua meant when he said the violent take it by force. You cannot force people into his kingdom as a reality. The truth is, you can only enter into his kingdom voluntarily, and when you say, I repent, I change my mind, the way I was doing it wrong, that is, not according to your law was wrong, but according to your law is the way I want to do it now. So we change our mind, we turn around, we go in his direction, and that's when you enter into his kingdom. When your heart is truly repentant, then you cross the border into his kingdom and you say, I love you, and by faith I choose a life of obedience to you. Teach me your law. Teach me your ways. Renew my mind. Write my law. I mean, write your law upon my mind. Write your law in my heart so that you can be my God, my Elohim, my judge, my king, and I will be your people. I hope that makes sense to you. So anyway, let's jump back into Numbers chapter 34. They're going through the borders. And the border shall go down. I'm in Numbers 34:12. That's where I'm going to pick up. Anyway, because it's at the bottom of my screen here on my e-sword. And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land with the coast thereof round about. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which Yahuwah commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half-tribe. Because the tribe of Joseph was split between his sons. So you had the two half-tribes. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and the half-tribe of Manasseh received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half-tribe have received their inheritance on this side of Jordan, near Jericho, eastward toward the sun rising. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, these are the names of the men that shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one prince of every tribe and divide the land by inheritance. So they divided the land among the princes of the tribes, and then the prince of the tribe divided the land by their inheritance. And the names of the men are these. So the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. The tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel, the son of Ammihud. And of the tribe of Benjamin, Eladad, the son of Chizlon. Of the prince of the tribe of Dan, Buki, the son of Jogli. Of the tribe of the children of Joseph, the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Hanael, the son of Ephod. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shiftan. The prince of the tribe of the son of Zebulun, Elasphan, the son of Parnak. Of the tribe of Issachar, Patiel, the son of Azan. Of Asher, Ahuhad, the son of Shalomai. Of the tribe of Naphtali, Padahel, the son of Ammihud. And these are they whom Yahuwah commanded to divide the inheritance unto the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. And chapter 35. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses in the plain of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And you shall give also to the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities they shall have to dwell in of, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle, for their goods, and all of their beasts. And the suburbs of the city which you shall give to the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city outward 2,000 cubits round about. You shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side and the west side 2,000 cubits. So basically, the Levite cities were 2,000 cubits square, and they also got 1,000 cubits outside of that for their cattle and their beasts and for their parks or whatever they wanted to do with the 2,000 feet out side of their walled cities, where they would have their houses and their dwelling places. And among the cities which you shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which you shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them you shall add 40 and two cities. So the Levites received 48 cities altogether, these closed-in conclaves of 2,000 cubit square with 2,000 cubit suburb. 48 altogether, and that would be 12 cities in each of the lands of the 12 tribes of Israel. So all the cities which you shall give the Levites shall be 48 cities you shall give them with their suburbs. And the cities which you shall give shall be a possession to the children of Israel from them that have many you shall give many, but from them that have few you shall give, every one shall give his cities to the Levites according to his inheritance, which he inherits. So basically, the Levites got their cities proportionally in the land, so that there were Levites, and then there were six cities of refuge, and these would be most likely a place where people could go to be judged. And so they would have two of these refuge cities, one city for every two tribes, basically, since there were six of these refuge cities. And I believe that they would have a judgment there and a court there for people that did not believe they could get justice in their tribe. So they would go to the city of refuge for a judgment on whatever the case may be. And Yahuwah has spoken to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you become over Jordan in the land of Canaan, you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unawares, and they shall be unto you cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities, which you shall give six cities, you shall have for refuge, and you shall give three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities shall be in the land of Canaan, and which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge for both children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, that he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. If he smite him with a throwing of a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with the hand of weapon of the wood, wherein he die, he shall die, he is a murderer, he shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight, that he die, or of enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote shall surely be put to death." So this is a premeditated murder, hating your brother. "And for he is a murderer, the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him." Basically, what we're getting here is that everything needs to be adjudicated, that justice be done in the land, that you cannot just take revenge without hearing the cause or the case of him that may proclaim innocence. "But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or stone wherewith he may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him, that he die," so if it's an accident, he doesn't see the man there, and someone get in the way or whatever, "neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge whither he fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he is fled, and the avenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood." So basically what we have here is, if you kill someone accidentally, a manslaughter, that there is a punishment. You have to go to the city of refuge, and basically you lose a great part of your freedom. Now your freedom is found within the bounds of the city of refuge. So there is a price to pay. So we need to be careful. You know, we have statutes today like, negligence, you know, manslaughter, constructive nuisance, and things like that, if you cause someone's death by constructing a nuisance. And we see all of these things need to be judged in the law. But they had to stay in this city of refuge. Perhaps it was a type of a prison, but actually it was a city of the Levites. So the Levites lived there, but they could leave. If you left the city of refuge, you left at your own peril. If you knew that the man did not have vengeance, who was the avenger of blood, so to speak, and was not going to come after you, then you would be free to leave. But anyway, if someone was really held onto their vengeance, and they were waiting for you to come out of the city. Well, you better stay there. So you see that people, it's a very serious thing. And no life and anything you do is to be taken with extreme care, that nobody can be harmed. So you have to consider that whatever you're doing, could someone be harmed by it, and to make sure that you take the precautions in order that we are not harmed. And we can see that many of the laws of the land, and some of them to the extreme, have laid burdens on people where there is no chance of someone getting hurt, yet now they've gone to the letter of the law. But we see that how these laws have developed from this law, from the law of God. Okay, and it goes on, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return unto the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. So a single witness, so we have the, you know, and that's established in our law, and this is where the law comes from, of several witnesses. It's not just that the witness of one person, but you need several witnesses to cause someone to die at the testimony. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. So no one can buy justice. No one can buy their way out of the punishment that is due them. Of course, having the testimony of two or more saying that the man committed the murder or was responsible for it. And, of course, hearsay saying that, well, what's his name said, who is dead, said whatever. But, you know, there are rules of evidence. And all of those rules of evidence can find their genesis here in the law of Yahuwah, the law of God. He shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell into the land until the death of the priest. So you can't buy your way out of the city of refuge either. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therein the land which you shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, Yahuwah, dwell among the children of Israel. And chapter 36. And the chief of the fathers of the families of children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses, and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, Yahuwah commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by Yahuwah to give the inheritance of Zelophehad to our brother unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers and be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So it shall be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And I'm going to take my break a little bit early here, so I'll be back after the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Send me an email, and I'll be back in a few minutes.